Radio Prague News. The Czech Foreign Ministry says it is prepared to send a team of Czech doctors to Libya and treat some of the injured in Czech hospitals. The Prime Minister and Foreign Minister have ended a drawn-out dispute over EU competences, and the Prague branch of the governing Civic Democrats is meeting on Friday ahead of the party's weekend conference. The Czech Foreign Ministry says it is prepared to send a team of Czech doctors to Libya and to treat some victims of the civil war in Czech hospitals. Foreign Ministry spokesman Vít Kolář said on Friday that Prague had responded to a request for assistance and Czech diplomats in Libya were negotiating what form it should take. It appears most likely that a team of Czech doctors will fly to the north of the country to provide medical assistance and select those patients who would be flown to Czech hospitals for treatment. Prime Minister Petr Nečas and Foreign Minister Karel Schwarzenberg have ended a drawn-out dispute over EU competences, according to the internet website aktualnie.cz. The dispute over who holds the EU agenda arose after Prime Minister Petr Nečas appointed a state secretary for EU affairs in the office of the government. The foreign minister promptly made an identical appointment at the foreign ministry. On Thursday, the two officials signed an agreement on procedural matters in covering the EU agenda, including who should represent the Czech Republic at various talks in Brussels. The Prague branch of the governing Civic Democrats is meeting on Friday ahead of the party's weekend conference. The regional gathering is expected to test support for party leader Petr Nečas, debate planned changes to the party's statutes and discuss budgetary issues. The weekend party conference of the Civic Democrats is not electoral, but is expected to be a litmus test of support for party leader and Prime Minister Petr Nečas, who took over the party reins following the resignation of Mirek Topolánek in April of 2010. Mr. Nečas was confirmed in the post for a two-year period last year, and a planned change of the party's statutes should allow for his mandate to be extended. The governing Topo 9 party is expected to elect a new leadership at its party conference over the weekend, though no surprises are expected. The party's present leader, Foreign Minister Karel Schwarzenberg, and the party's deputy, Finance Minister Miroslav Kalousek, both have a firm position at the party's helm and are expected to be confirmed in office. The conference is expected to discuss the party's priorities and strategy in next year's regional elections, as well as officially approve Karel Schwarzenberg as the party's nominee for president in the 2013 elections. Trade unions in the health sector have given Health Minister Leos Heger until November 5th to deliver on his promise to raise doctors' and nurses' salaries in 2012. The head of the doctors' trade unions, Martin Engel, told the CTK news agency that unless the minister made good on his promise, there would be a renewal of this year's protest actions and mass walkouts from hospitals around the country. In a memorandum signed this spring, Minister Heger promised to increase doctors' and nurses' salaries by 10% in the coming year, but there is concern that due to across-the-board budget cuts in the state sector, he might not be able to keep his word. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. The weather should continue sunny with day temperatures between 8 and 13 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarová, and that's the end of the news.
This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Jan Wellinger. In today's program, the town of Karlovy Vary faces a massive claim for bonds issued almost 90 years ago. Then we'll have a new roundup of the latest business news, and stay with us for the arts a little later in the program, which looks at Czech Catholic literature. Don't go away. The town of Karlovy Vary faces a massive claim for bonds issued in 1924. The controversial U.S. lawyer Edward Fagan this week asked Karlovy Vary to pay off more than $500 million on the bonds and their interest. While officials in Karlovy Vary and at the Czech Finance Ministry are now studying the case, Mr. Fagan said he would wait until the end of the month before taking the matter to court. Jan Richter reports.
In 1924, the town of Karlovy Vary, known also by its German name Karlsbad, needed to boost its budget and decided to issue $1,500 bonds in the United States in the total amount of $1.5 million. The bonds were due in 1954. However, the Second World War, the expulsion of nearly all of Karlovy Vary's German-speaking inhabitants, and the communist takeover of the country pushed them into oblivion. But now, 87 years later, the town is being asked to pay off the bonds. This week, the controversial US lawyer Edward Fagan sent a letter to town officials demanding $506 million, or 9.2 billion crowns, for the bonds and the interest. The sum, around seven times higher than Karlovy Vary's annual budget, would financially ruin the town for years to come. The request, filed by Mr. Fagan on his own behalf as well as on behalf of other bonds owners, took officials in Karlovy Vary and in Prague by surprise. Karlovy Vary Mayor Petr Kulhánek originally agreed to meet with Mr. Fagan, but a few days later Mr. Kulhánek cancelled the meeting, confident his town has nothing to worry about.
Bonds
held by Czechoslovak citizens were invalidated in the currency reform of 1953. It remains to be seen what happened with bonds that are to this day in the possession of foreign nationals. In any case, the town of Karlovy Vary lost its status as a legal entity and its obligations were taken over by the state. So even if these claims were substantiated, they would go against the state.
After the 1948
communist takeover of Czechoslovakia, all municipalities ceased to be legal entities. Moreover, the currency reform of 1953 obliged all bondholders to register their securities. These were later invalidated. But that might not cover foreign holders of the Karlovy Vary bonds. Officials at the Czech Finance Ministry are now studying the relevant documents and say they should know more by the end of the month. Ondřej Jakob is a spokesman for the ministry.
For the time being, we see no reason why the Czech Republic should pay anything. We are now going through our archives because it has been nearly 90 years since the bonds were issued. We're analyzing the case, but we firmly believe the Czech Republic will not have to pay anything for these bonds.
But some experts believe the case might not be as clear-cut as that. First of all, the Karlovy Vary bonds are unique in that they were not issued here, but in the United States. On two occasions, Czechoslovak authorities negotiated with bondholders. In 1946, the bond's maturity was prolonged until 1966. And in 1984, the Czechoslovak Finance Ministry signed a memorandum with the bondholders, the contents of which have not been disclosed. Rudolf Píša is a leading Czech expert on the history of bonds, stocks and other securities.
It seems that the memorandum is a key document right now. I don't know what's in it, but I think that it probably set down some statute of limitation after which the bonds were no longer valid. So I think the likelihood that Mr. Fagan could claim money for the bonds is not great. But we really have to wait and see until the documents are found in the archives.
Mr. Fagan wants to meet officials from Karlovy Vary and the finance ministry on the 31st of October and take them to court if his claims are rejected. By then, the authorities should also have all the relevant documents, including the mysterious 1984 memorandum.
Jan Richter reporting there on bonds that were issued almost 90 years ago and claims that they should now be paid out. So we would definitely be watching that story and how that develops. Now, though, we turn to the latest business news, and for that I'm joined in the studio by my colleague Christian Falvey.
The Czech government is planning a 11.7 billion crown investment in operating renewable energy sources again next year. The better part of the investment is earmarked for support of solar energy. The number of solar power plants shot up last year, and their maintenance will cost the state more than 22 billion in 2012, which is roughly two-thirds of the total amount for operating renewable energy sources. This means yet another hike in the cost of electricity, since the plants are funded only in part through government grants. Energy prices are expected to rise by 4.3% on average for households next year and 6.2% for companies, according to the proposal submitted to the government by the Ministry of Labor. The source of the $11.7 billion is the 26% tax on solar energy plants introduced this year, as well as the 32% tax on free emissions vouchers.
Prime Minister Petr Nečas says a referendum should precede any adoption of the euro in the Czech Republic. Speaking after a meeting with members of the European Parliament this week, the Prime Minister said that the eurozone had changed dramatically since the Czech Republic's entry into the EU and has become a debt and transfer union rather than a monetary union. The Treaty of Accession to the European Union, which took effect in 2004, stipulates that the Czech Republic must join the eurozone, but does not set a specific date. Mr. Nečas repeated that his government is unwilling to set a time frame for the adoption of the euro.
Production of passenger cars in the Czech Republic rose by 11.4% between January and September of this year, up to nearly 900,000. Information published by the Automotive Industry Association shows growth driven primarily by Škoda Auto and Hyundai car makers, and indicates a healthy situation in the Czech car industry. Overall results for 2011 may thus exceed the record production from the last year, when domestic car manufacturers produced over 916,000 road vehicles of all categories. Škoda Auto raised output by 21.5% to more than 500,000 cars. Hyundai Motor Czech produced about 175,000. On the other hand, car maker TPCA Kolín saw production drop by over 11%.
The first gas transfer station bringing natural gas from outside the post-Soviet East opened in northern Bohemia this week. President Václav Klaus cut the ribbon on this part of the 10 billion crown project, which connects the existing network to the new Baltic gas pipeline, Nord Stream. An additional pipeline next year will bring gas through the west, primarily to southern Germany. The connection of the transit lines should reduce the risk to natural gas supplies stemming from occasional disputes between Russia and former Soviet countries, which are traversed by the current transit gas pipelines. A dispute between Russia and Ukraine caused a major gas crisis in 2009.
Lastly, Czech television will stop broadcasting advertisements from Saturday due to a fuzzy legal situation arising from new legislation. The lost revenue will amount to 88 million more than had been expected and will affect primarily the state cinematic fund. The public broadcaster informed that it has cancelled its contracts with advertisers and warned that it may have to compensate for damages, while pointing out that it was not responsible for the situation, which arose from a mistake in the legislative process. The cancellation of advertising will also apply to teleshopping and ads on the broadcaster's websites. Commercials can continue on Czech television 2 and 4, where there are nonetheless fewer options for advertising.
Christian Falvey there with the latest business news. Now, if you'd like to comment on anything you've heard in today's program, it's easy to do so, of course. You can write to us here at the station. The address is english@radio.cz. Of course, we're getting more mail all the time now over the internet, but if you'd like to write to us to our street address, that is still a possibility. That is Vinohradská 12, 12099, Prague 2, the Czech Republic. Also, don't forget you'll find more news and stories at our website, radio.cz, and you can also join in on Facebook in discussion of the latest topics. Now, though, we turn to our biggest feature this day, and that is another edition of The Arts, this time put together by Jan Richter, and it was first aired in 2010 in July. Opposed, later persecuted, and finally forgotten, that was the fate of many Czech Catholic writers who stood outside the literary mainstream. In one of Europe's most atheist nations, the impact of these authors gradually diminished throughout the 20th century, although in their heyday, in the interwar period, they managed to convey many original ideas and intriguing artistic expressions. Now, this lesser-known era in the Czech arts is now looked at by Jan Richter, we'll be talking to the literary historian Martin C. Putna. Night, and steps sound on the stoop, for only an empty table weeps, or the wall has whispered,
or the sorrow which never oversleeps. Sighed the bed, barked the door, chattered the window frame. Are we drawn through brilliant day into the frost, without supper? Hunger scrabbled with dog claws in the twilight. It gave the sign.
The poem Hunger by Bohuslav Reinek, translated into English by Toby Litt and Tomáš Mika. The solitary poet Bohuslav Reinek spent much of his life on his ancient farm in the Bohemian Moravian Highlands, harassed by the communist authorities in the 1950s to the point where he would not leave his house for years at a time. Literary historian and himself a leading Catholic intellectual, Martin C. Putna, devoted more than 12 years to the study of these authors and recently published a voluminous 1,400-page book devoted to Czech Catholic literature in the first half of the 20th century.
This rich period, it is a golden age of Czech Catholic literature and in more general view, the golden age of the European Catholic literature, because this is the period when almost all so-called classics of European Catholic literature, like Graham Greene, Georges Bernanos, and Chesterton and others, are active, and the same is also in the Czech Republic.
The interwar period, marked by the abandonment of traditional values, which had not been able to prevent the horrible war, led many intellectuals to seek new values. In many countries, this went hand in hand with attacks on the Catholic Church, and even more so in the newly founded Czechoslovakia. There, Rome was seen as a defender of the ancient Austrian regime and an adversary of Czech and Slovak independence. For Catholic writers in Bohemia and Moravia, the situation was very difficult.
Well, in the first moment, they were pretty much in shock. Because the first symbolic act of the new state was destroying of the famous sculpture of the Holy Virgin Mary on the Staroměstské square in the very center of Prague. This statue was destroyed as a symbol of Habsburg monarchy, but the Catholics understood this as an attack against Catholicism as such. So especially for the Catholic intellectuals, it was the symbol, the destroyed Marian Column. It was as a symbolic attack against Catholicism.
Martin Putna says that the most significant and most widely read Czech Catholic writer of the time was Jaroslav Durych, a military physician who reached the rank of colonel in the Czechoslovak army. He was well received, despite going against the mainstream.
In the 20s, there was a very little group of authors. Basically, there was only one author highly appreciated by the general public, and that was Jaroslav Durych, a man with very strong, even provocative rhetorics, writing almost extremist articles about the necessity of to build again the column and to destroy the memorial of Mr. Jan Hus, the symbol of Reformation. He was a man of provocation, and though, regardless of this provocation, he was highly respected as an author. He was a very good friend of Karel Čapek, who was the so-called official author of the Czechoslovak Republic, personal close friend of Masaryk. And this Karel Čapek, this official representative of the Czechoslovak literature, who always who used to say, maybe Durych is wrong in his views, but he is a great poet and writer, and most of you who attack him are just journalists.
One of the most distinct and perhaps the most controversial Czech Catholic authors of the time was Jakub Demel. A priest and poet from Western Moravia, he worked closely with an important publisher of modern Catholic literature, Josef Florian. Demel's best-known book, Zapomenuté světlo, or Forgotten Light, was adapted into a 1996 Czech movie. Towards the 1930s, many Catholic thinkers became increasingly intrigued by a concept called the Fourth Way. They saw the future in neither democracy, nor fascism or communism. They wanted to establish a state based on the traditional model of society, with firm values and less politics. But they ended up disappointed by the way things turned out.
Obviously, this appeared to be only utopia because during the 30s, Hitler's Germany influenced more and more strongly all these Catholic or quasi-Catholic groups. As a result, there was no room for a fourth way. There was just either liberal democracy or communism or Nazism. So fourth way was an utopia and tragedy in the end because it discredited very much the Catholic intellectuals after World War II.
Few Catholic writers did in fact collaborate with Nazis during the war, but some did. One of them was a prominent Catholic journalist, Jan Scheinhorst, the wartime editor-in-chief of the leading daily of the time, Národní politika. Another such figure was the Moravian Bohdan Chudoba, a historian and the founder of the English Studies Department at Brno's Masaryk University. He left Czechoslovakia after the communist takeover of 1948 and later, in Spanish exile, succumbed to his far-reaching conspiracy theories. Martin Putna says the end of the war and the rise of communism in Central and Eastern Europe brought a decline in Catholic thinking and literature in the Czech lands.
They were in a pretty difficult position because they saw everywhere the tendency to socialism, the growing dominance of communists, though formally the state was still democratic. But they saw mostly very clearly that the golden age of Catholicism is over and that what is expecting them is a rather dark future.
After 1948, some prominent authors like Bohdan Chudoba and Jan Čep left their country. Others, including Bohuslav Reinek and Jan Zahradníček, stayed in communist Czechoslovakia with very slim chances of publishing their works. But Czech Catholic writing survived.
It survived first in exile, second in so-called samizdat, in unofficial periodics, in manuscripts that were published after the fall of communism or in exile. And some writers succeed in so-called the gray zone in 70s, when they did not write openly about religious topics. Some of them were allowed to publish in so-called gray zone, so none of them was a prominent writer, but they somehow succeed.
Czech readers interested in these half-forgotten writers and intellectuals can now browse through Martin Putna's impressive tome. International audiences, however, have few sources of information on Czech Catholic literature. Martin Putna says that the reality is no modern Czech religious writers achieved international recognition.
And that edition of The Arts was written and produced by Jan Richter. His guest was Martin C. Putna, the literary historian, and it was first broadcast in July of 2010. That takes us to the final portion of our show, which is another edition of Soundcheck, in which you can learn Czech idioms through song lyrics. And today's episode is produced by Daniela Lazarova.
Yo, každý ráno u novin zaznamenávám dějin postup.
Hello and welcome to Radio Prague's Czech language series in which you can learn new phrases with the help of song lyrics. Today's rap song is by Bo Wave and the phrase to listen out for is On umí vařit z vody. On umí vařit z vody means he knows how to cook from water and refers to the fact that someone has a knack for making something out of nothing. Being able to do that requires plenty of improvisation and the result is never trustworthy. People who find themselves in that situation may say, něco si vycucám z prstu, I will have to suck my finger for an idea. Or, budu mlžit, I will create a smokescreen. In this rap song, the ability to cook from plain water is attributed to politicians, who very often blab for hours about nothing. But to move on to something more substantial, if you hear someone using the expression stavět na zelené louce, they are building something from scratch on an empty green meadow, and it does not necessarily refer to construction work. While stavět na klíč, to build on a key, means to engage in a turnkey project. If you hear someone say that they're sewing with a hot needle, šít horkou jehlou, they're saying that they're working in a great hurry to meet a deadline. In other words, they're sewing so quickly their needle is hot with the effort. And finally, you can get grandiose plans that never hope to materialize. People who make unrealistic plans staví vzdušné zámky. They build castles in the air. I hope your plans are more substantial than that and don't leave you cooking from plain water. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for learning Czech with me and naschledanou. Slibuje, že napraví všechny škody, aby on umí vařit z vody. Ve sněmi mě dá, zvyšujou se platy, jediná věc, ze který doženem okolní státy. Lidi jako se čumí po okolí, už dávno neví, proč volí. Jo, já, chodím se pro balon, dohrávat souboje. And that edition of Soundcheck, in which you can learn Czech idioms through song lyrics, was written and produced by our very own Daniela Lazarová. We're almost out of time today, but just a quick reminder for the latest, the very latest from the Czech Republic in arts, culture, and other news, please be sure to check us out on the web. The address is www.radio.cz, and you can even sign up for a free daily email straight to your mailbox with all the latest news. So you'll always know what's happening here in Prague and the rest of the Czech Republic. I'm Jan Velinger. For all of us here at the station, we want to thank you so much for joining us this day, and have a wonderful weekend.